November 20th, 2011, visiting with Kathleen McCullen, Iowa Area Program Coordinator of the American Friends Service Committee. Kathleen, thanks for joining us today.
Well, I'm delighted to be here, John.
Kathleen, why don't you, if you want to talk a little bit about how AFSC has been relating to the Occupy movement in Des Moines and what role you've played.
Okay, well, first of all, I think it's a very exciting movement. It's so fresh, it's so creative. One, just occupying a piece of land and say, we're here to lift up to attention, to public view, the situation in this country with 99% of the population controlling like half the wealth and 1% controlling the other half of the wealth. So they've been very creative in lifting that up. And I think it's so important to understand that whenever you have this sort of disparity in terms of income and wealth, you have to understand it also means disparity in terms of democracy. I mean, especially with a Supreme Court ruling that says corporations are people. So those who have the wealth get to decide the direction of our legislation and to a large degree who gets elected to office. So that being said, it's a great effort on their part to lift up this reality that is our country today. Our part has been for AFSC to support their efforts, recognizing it is their efforts. It's a young group of people primarily, not exclusively, and they've got a new way of operating, and I think the main effort I've been doing on behalf of AFSC is to support them to try and engage more of the faith community in their effort to listen to what they're saying about wealth disparity, because that surely is an important message within Christian churches. And I've certainly read within Islam and within Judaism, those are also messages. And I think it's something that all of our faith community should be listening to. So we've been trying to raise attention there. I've been working with Catholic workers, particularly in doing some nonviolence training, because right now the movement is increasingly moving toward, at least during this time, during this caucus season, taking some direct actions at the candidates' offices, again, saying you need to address the issues of wealth disparity, you need to address the issues of the out-of-control military budget, you need to address issues of our civil liberties and so forth, and these things aren't being addressed. So they're taking the message right to the candidates' offices. Now, depending on how people want to respond, this can create at least the possibility for some negative interactions. If they choose to stay and the police are called, it's real important for the movement that they maintain their commitment to nonviolence. So we've been working with the Catholic worker community to do some trainings around nonviolence and peacekeeping. And it's going very well. There's a lot of enthusiasm for it. I had one young man in one of our trainings say, not even in a political situation, but just in a community or neighborhood situation, if somebody was being hurt, it never ever occurred to him to try and intervene in a nonviolent way. And he appreciated thinking about that, how there are different situations, but there's also different ways you can respond. So I think it's sort of across the board a nice reminder for people and a nice training of developing skills. And I think it'll certainly be handy during the any direct action that the Occupy folks are going to take on.
Mm-hmm. Are people of faith interested in or receptive to the message that the Occupy folks are lifting up?
You know, it certainly varies. And, you know, frankly, I haven't been able to get out as much as I would like to sort of have more dialogue with people about it. But we have had a few opportunities, and some more receptive than others. I was excited to have the Methodist Federation for Social Action after a larger discussion, not focused on Occupy, but in which we brought the conversation in. And the next day they made a contribution to support their work down there and help purchase a tent. We've had a meeting at the Friends meeting with a mixed group of people from different Christian denominations. And, you know, there was a lot of enthusiasm. Yes, how can we help them? Yes, we'll take food. And then there were, oh, it concerns me. What if it becomes violent? And, you know, that's a very, one of the points that I keep trying to make with the faith community is, but that's our job to be there so it doesn't become violent. I mean, their commitment is real. The young people's commitment, the Occupy group, is commitment to nonviolence is real. But intense situations, whether it's the police or whether it's the occupiers, somebody could lose, you know, grasp for a minute, or somebody loses a temper. And those of us who believe in justice, which is what the call of the Occupy movement is, and we have some skills and some experience in intervening in such situations, then I think we need to be there. Mm-hmm. One of the pastors in my life talked about we are called to be in the mix. And that was his understanding of the Christian call that Jesus demonstrated for us. We are called to be in the mix. And today, the mix is the Occupy movement, is one key place where that mix and that tension lives. And so it's a good place for people of faith to be. Mm-hmm. So there have been some other discussions within faith communities and different responses. And I think one of the things they're asking for is a place to hold their meetings, a place for people to camp out if people come in from out of town. I don't think we've gotten a good response from churches on that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not easy. There's no question it's not easy. But, you know, if we just step back in history and how many of us did stand on the sidelines during Martin Luther King's struggles and came in only, you know, way late. Do we want to continue that role for the churches to stay on the sideline? Or is this a chance to risk something? And is the cause good? And when we look at home foreclosures and we look at health care issues, yeah, the cause is good. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's lots of opportunities for the faith community to be involved. And I hope as this continues and past the caucuses, there'll be more opening and willingness to find a place in there.
Do you think some people of faith are uncomfortable with the idea that Occupy is raising issues that are, quote-unquote, maybe too divisive or that too confrontational? Or are people put off, some people of faith put off by that or scared, perhaps, of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a very good point. I think, you know, it would be so nice if things could just be solved by having a conversation. But when the power imbalance is so great in this country, there's basically nobody to have this conversation with to begin with. And secondly, there's not much motivation for those who have the most wealth in this country, for those who profit from Wall Street gambling and the way too dangerous and closeness of the U.S. government and corporations and Wall Street. They benefit so much from this relationship that until they have some reason to choose to review their behavior, there's no reason. There's no reason for them to have a conversation with us. It's way too comfortable. So, you know, it's like... I mean, a great thing for us to look at is Dr. King's letter from the Birmingham jail. Yes, people at that time told him, oh, can't you just wait? Or there's nicer ways to do it. Well, we should have learned they couldn't wait, and no, there weren't nicer ways to do it. And I think it's the same situation now. Mm-hmm. I mean, and, you know, the people, a lot of people within many of our faith communities are pretty comfortable. And it's much easier to, you know, sort of say there's a nice way to do it and do it our way, but at the same time, people's homes are still being foreclosed on, and jobs are lost, and there's not real serious effort to address jobs, and soldiers are still being killed. So I think, I'm glad you asked that question, because I think it really does call for us to look at our own privilege, all of us, you know, and how much easier it is to say from a position of privilege, let's wait, or let's find another way. And in the meantime, yes, we can keep giving food and donations through the food pantry, but we're, one, it's way low. Food pantry is not able to feed the people, and two, it's not changing the system.
It almost seems to me, Kathleen, that there are, it strikes me that there are two, we're seeing a new track of political involvement among, especially young people, but among mm-hmm. people in general in this society, in our country. We have the caucuses, they're all the rage in Iowa, and the political campaigns by mainstream candidates and the huge amount of publicity and media that they garnish, and the millions of dollars in advertising that they bombard the state with. But at the same time, it seems like there's a new world sort of created underneath that, or perhaps above it, however you want to see it. Mm-hmm. But the Occupy people every day have a general assembly, which is the language of our state legislature. Yeah. And they meet and they discuss, they debate. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not a monolithic group. They have divisions within themselves, and they debate the value of different proposals, and then they act upon them. It strikes me that that's a hopeful sign, perhaps, that people are getting more involved and want to be more involved in their politics.
Yeah, I mean, and it's such a good model. I mean, that really is democracy at the grassroots, and really... finding voice for everybody, giving everybody an opportunity to speak. They operate by consensus, and yes, consensus can be long and hard, but it does give a space for everybody to speak. You made me think of something with that. Two things. Oh, one, yeah, just a well-known comment from Gandhi about being the change you want to see in the world. That's exactly what's happening down there. When I go down there, I see, one, as you said, these general assemblies, these conversations, these people working together and putting something off till tomorrow. If we can't come to good consensus today, it can be discussed tomorrow. And then you walk over to the food tent, and you see people really working together, and very much, there's no roles. There's not like women in the kitchen doing the work, which still is a reality in many of our homes. And it's the men and women working equally and taking on different roles. So and that's a really good point, that and that's what that idea about being the change we want. This is what we're looking for, and this is where a participatory democracy, much more so than the caucuses, in the sense that somebody has already established, you know, this year 4 or 5 or 6 high-profile Republicans who are coming through, and obviously the Democratic Party has already chosen the president to be there. So, you know, we get to choose out of who is sent our way. And what's happening here is starting from the bottom up, making choices and decisions. And I believe it's on December 26th or 7th.
27th.
The People's Caucus. Come and hear what are the issues that we really care about. And I think that's a great place to be. And I think they're still looking for where they can have that conversation. But certainly anybody who cares about the state of our democracy should be a part of that conversation.
Well, thank you, Kathleen. Anything you want to add to the discussion?
Yeah, one other piece I would add is it's also exciting to me to realize that nobody knows exactly where this started, but I was so struck 10 months ago when in Wisconsin people started standing up for state workers and stood against the governor who was trying to take away workers' rights and so forth. And they carried a sign that said, "Walk like an Egyptian." And that was such a powerful message. It was a way of people at the grassroots saying, we're willing to learn from another country. It's not something you'll hear at the top. But they saw people claiming space and claiming their rights and asserting what they want their country to look like. And I think the Occupy movement has taken something from that and is building on. And that's exciting. It also is an international effort because, you know, around the world there are different Occupy sites taking a look at what's happening with Wall Street and claiming their own space and sending well wishes to the Occupy people. So that's a nice thing coming from the grassroots, connecting internationally.
Definitely, yeah.
Cool.
Well, thank you, Kathleen.
Yeah, thank you, Jen.